Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh,
magnify
the Lord
with me.
His name
together. Come on and magnify the Lord
with me.
His name together.
Word of God that's able to save souls, to bring the
want you to know today the word of God say is, If I be lifted up, he said that he will draw all men unto him. And it's time for men and women, boys and girls to be drawn unto the Almighty God, to know him as your King of Kings, to know him as the Lord of Lords, to know him as the Alpha and Omega. Yes, he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. Yes, he has all power in his hand. Yes, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. For there is nothing. I'm here to proclaim to you this morning that there is nothing too hard for God to do. It is nothing. I don't care what you're going through this morning. I want you to know that God wants to be glorified. He wants to be exalted. He wants to be praised. Oh, the Psalms say, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us praise his name together. Let us exalt his name no matter what the problem, no matter what the circumstances is. Yes, let's lift him up and let's go high in the Lord. Yes, it's time that we go higher in the Lord so that we can exalt his name. Yes, this is the hour of power broadcast, and we're here to bless you today through the word of God. Why don't you turn your scripture to Daniel, which is in the Old Testament, and we're going to go to that fifth chapter, beginning at that first verse. And we're going to take as one of our key verses today is at that third verse. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which were at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. When we began to go through the word of God, when we see God's word here in the book of Daniel, we want to let you know the plan of God, what God is doing, how his plan has already been laid out, his plan already has been orchestrated. When we get out of the will of God, when we get out of the plan of God, then there are things that will happen in our lives. But when we can be obedient to God, when we can hear him, when we have an ear to hear what the Spirit says unto the church, then we are able to be in that safety zone. So here we find in the fifth chapter of Daniel, it says Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to a thousand of his lords and drank wine before the thousand. He made a feast. And it's nothing wrong with him making a feast, but he made a feast to the thousand of his Lord. And they drank wine, and he drank wine before the thousand. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, he commanded to bring the golden and the silver vessel which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which were in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. So when we see that the king, he not only had the feast, he had the feast for the thousand, and then as he was drinking wine, he decided that he was going to take the gold and the silver vessels out of the temple, and he was going to bring them in, and that he might drink therein. Not only him, but the king, his princes, his wives, and his concubines, that they could drink of the holy things. So therefore, when he began to drink out of them, they brought, it tells us that in that third verse, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which were at Jerusalem. And the king and his prince and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the God of gold and of silver, of brass and of iron, of wood and of stone. They began to make merry. They began to take what was holy and made it unholy. God had provided, God had given these things that was in the temple of God. These things was in God's house. These things was belong unto the temple. These things that God had, that allowed to his father Nebuchadnezzar to have in that temple. So it let us know that this man was ungodly. He was ungodly even before he began to drink that wine. He was ungodly because it let us know that when he began to drink the wine, he began to do things that most likely was already in his heart. He was already thinking about those precious vessels. He was already thinking about the gold, and he was already thinking about the silver vessels that was in the house of God. And so, therefore, when he commanded that they bring those things out, that his concubines and that his the other that was in there, his wives and all the princes, when he brought those things out, the king would have this agony that he was already thinking about those things already. But when he began to drink of the wine, when he began to celebrate, now he was celebrating to God, but he was celebrating to those lords. He was celebrating to those that was around about him. Yet he began to do those things that was unseemly. And it tells us in the word of God that they drank wine and they praised the God of gold and of silver. God tells us that we shall have no other God before him. I don't know what God that you have before you today. I don't know whether it was like Nebuchadnezzar, a son, Belshazzar. I don't know whether or not gold or silver or brass or wood or stone was the God that you are serving today. But I do know here in the word of God that this man began to praise the God of gold and silver and et cetera. And he, instead of praising and magnifying and exalting the name of Jesus, for the word of God says, if I be lifted up, he said that he'll draw all men unto him. So he praised the God with an S on it, the little G on it, the God of gold and the God of silver, the God of brass. I don't know if you have to look at this message this morning and you have to see where you are in the word of God. Is it that you are praising and you are praising the car? Are you praising the home that you live in? Are you praising the position that you're in? If you're the CEO of a company, are you praising that? Are you praising and you're magnifying God? But here, Belshazzar, he decided that he was going to praise the God, not only him, because he was the key. So therefore, they took the precious vessels out of the temple of God. He began to cross the line. Ladies and gentlemen, you can begin to cross the line when you're not in alignment with God's word. We have to be in alignment with God's word. This man, this king, Belshazzar, he had crossed the line. He began to do things that was against the will of God, against the plan of God, and he began to bring the precious vessel out of the temple of God. And not only he did not have any respect for began to praise the God of gold. And then as he praised the God of gold, and the word of God tells us in that fifth verse, in the same hour came forth a fingers, fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of a hand that wrote. Oh my God, when we look at the word of God, God has a way of getting our attention. God has a way of making his self-known. God has a way of letting us know when we have crossed the line. I don't know about you today, but you have to ask yourself a question. Are you crossing the line? Are you out of the will of God? Have you put something else before God? Have you dibbling and dabbling in the holy things of God? Are you doing all that you know to do in order to not to please the Almighty God? And this Belshazzar, he didn't care. He crossed the line. He didn't honor the Lord of God, the God that brought him out of God. He didn't. He did not give God the glory and the honor. But yet he was in a position to make the pathway straight. He was in a position to be a king. He was in a king position, but he did ungodly things. And then the word of God tell us, because God was displeased what he did, the word of God say, in that same hour, that's a preach all by itself, in that same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and it wrote wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall. Can you imagine? Could you imagine seeing fingers writing on the wall? Can you see that in your mind? And the king, it was in the king's palace. And the king saw the part of a hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed. He wasn't acting the way that he was acting before. He wasn't jolly before like he was before. He wasn't filled with the joy of his kind of joy that he had before. But this very act was able to get his attention, to let him know that I want you to see what I'm about to do. You know, you have crossed the line. You have gone into the temple of the Most High God, and you have taken out the vessels of gold and silver and brass and wood, and you are here with your concubines and your wives and the princes, and you are celebrating, but you're not celebrating to me. And sometimes you have to think about, as people that God has put upon this earth, are we celebrating God? Are we celebrating that which our eyes see? Are we celebrating the things that God and God only have blessed us with? Are we celebrating that new car? Are we celebrating that raise that we have? And we're forgetting about God. Now, it's good when God can bless you. It's good when God can open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that there'll be not room enough to receive. That's good all by itself. But I'm talking about this morning, when you can be so bold, and you can be so cruel, and you can be so uppity that you will go and you will order the vessels of God to be taken out of the temple and to be given to men and women that had no way of a thought of serving God, and began to drink out of these vessels. So then God calls these fingers to be on the wall. And the fingers wasn't just on the wall, but he could see the part of the hand that wrote. And when he seen this, his countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joint of his lines was loose, and his knees smote one against another, because of the fact that he was afraid. Fear had came unto his heart. What is it that will cause you to stop and to turn away from your wicked way? What is it? Do you need the finger that's writing on the wall? Do you need God to reenact what he did to King Belshazzar in order to get his attention? There may never be a finger writing on the wall, but there are ways that God will get your attention. There are ways that God will stop you from doing the things that you're doing when God knows, when he knows that it is not in his plan or in his perfect will. So the king had fear in his heart. Oh, who wouldn't have fear in their heart to see the hand, to see the fingers that was and the rope on the wall? And the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologer, the chatting, and the soothsayer. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and shall show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, and he shall be third in the rule in the kingdom. Then came all of the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. All those that he had around about him, all of the wise men, they could not read. The astrologers, they didn't know what the writing was on the wall. They could not tell him what the writing meant. The soothsayer, they could not tell the king what the writing meant. So, therefore, he wanted to know if there was anyone that could read the writing on the wall and show him the interpretation shall be clothed in the scarlet and have a chain on his neck, and they shall be third ruler in the kingdom. But at that time, no one was able to read the writing on the wall. It wasn't for them. God was not going to let them read the writing on the wall. God was not going to show them the interpretation of what he had written. They was not for God. They was not living according to God's word. They did not tell the king the truth. The Bible said, "You shall know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." He said, "When the Son has made free, it's free indeed." Then was the king there in the ninth verse. It said, "Then was the king Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lord was astonished." Now the queen, by reason of the word of the king and his lord, came unto the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be shamed." She's telling him, "Don't be troubled. I have an answer for you. You don't have to let your confidence change. I have an answer." The wise men couldn't tell you. The astrologers couldn't tell you. The soothsayers couldn't tell you. But I'm going to tell you about someone that's able to read the handwriting on the wall. There's always, God always have a setup. He always have a plan. He always have a plan that's ready to be able to be orchestrated. And she began to say, there is a man in the kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. Now, she was saying of the holy gods. She didn't know. She knew it was something different about Daniel. And she knew that she didn't know how to equate it with being the God that they serve, but she knew that there was a difference, and this man of God was able to have the interpretation. And she began to tell the king about Daniel. And she said to him, she said, there's a man in that kingdom in whom is the spirit of God, of the holy God, and the day of thy father light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom King Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, that thy father made master of the musicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpretation of dreams, and showing of heart synthesis and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom that king named Belshazzar now let, and now let Daniel be called. So therefore, let's read that 12th verse again. For as much as an excellent spirit, they're talking about Daniel, and knowledge and understanding, he has interpretation of dreams, and God showed him heart synthesis, and he was able to dissolve doubts. So therefore, they sent and they called Daniel. Daniel was then summoned. Daniel was able to be go before King Belshazzar. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel that are of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought in out of Jury? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of God, other gods, is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. He was talking to Daniel. He was letting Daniel know what he had heard about Daniel. The king needed an answer. The king needed to know about this writing on the wall. I'm saying to you today that there are people that are in the United States of America. There are people that are in different cities and states. They need to know the answer. They need the understanding. And those that are around about them, they don't know the mysteries of God. They don't have the revelation. They don't have the wisdom. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the understanding. So, yes, all the people that he had around him were not able to give him the information that he needed and the clarity of what the writing was that was on the wall. So, therefore, he began to let Daniel know that if he would reveal this writing, the meaning of the writing, that he was going to have Daniel be clothed with scarlet, and that Daniel would have a chain about his neck, and he would be the third ruler in the kingdom. And then Daniel answered and said it before the king, let thy gift be to thyself. See, Daniel could not be bought. Any man, woman of God that loves God, that truly men and women of God, they cannot be bought. And Daniel let him know, O king, I'm willing to tell you the interpretation. O king, I'm willing to give you clarity. I'm willing to reveal to you what the writing on the wall means. But I don't need to be dressed in scarlet. I don't need a gold chain around my neck. I don't need you to make me third in the kingdom. This is a man of God that cannot be bought. I mean, when we begin to think about the word of God and we begin to think about the men and women of God, those that have been called, those that have been appointed, or those that are part of the fivefold ministry, we have to think within ourselves. You know, can you be bought? Can you be bought? Can you be trusted? When you give yourself to God, or when you give yourself to those that seems like they can make you somebody or make you greater than somebody that's supposed to have position of money, of fame, of glory. I mean, it comes down to Daniel, he didn't care about those things because he knew the God that he served. Sometimes we have to forget God is one that is able to give us all that what we need, because the word of God says he's able to supply all our need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And God has more than any king that's Shazah. God has more than anything that the world would offer us. But it seems like sometimes when men and women of God, when they began to see the riches of this earth, the riches of this world, that they can be bought. My God. But the man of God, he could not be bought. It didn't matter. I'm going to tell you truth anyhow. It didn't matter whether or not you put dress me in scarlet. It doesn't matter whether or not you put a chain around my neck. It doesn't matter whether or not you're going to make me third in the kingdom, because I'm going to reveal truth. God has truth that he wants to reveal to you today. God sent me and gifted me. See, when you have the gift of God, you are not to be given up for currency, for favoritism. You are not to be one that can be what bought. You are not to be that way for whatever purpose that you want in order to be able to make yourself someone greater. But yet, the man of God, the prophet of God, he could not be brought. So here, he says in that 17th verse, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gift be to thyself. You keep those things, king, and give the reward to somebody else. Could you imagine someone saying in this day and time, that I'm going to give you $1 million if you interpret a dream for me, or you do something that I know that I can't do, or you do something that of all the people that I have in my company and in my branch cannot do? If you do something for me that even those that around me cannot do, I'll give it to you. There are people out there today that easily will be bought, easily give themselves over to the things of this world and not the things of God. But David said, King, you can keep these things to yourself, and you can give these things to another. I don't need them. But he said, yet I would read the writing. I'm going to read this writing, King, and make known to you the interpretation. And then he said, oh, thou King, oh, my God, the Most High God, gave Nebuchadnezzar, the father of kingdoms, and majesty and glory and honor. He's talking to him now. He is talking to the king at this time. The king wanted to know, I'm going to tell you what's happening. I'm going to tell you what's going on. I'm going to tell you what the fingers on the wall writing is all about. He said, O king, the Most High. He's giving honor to him, but he wanted him to know that the God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom. He gave him majesty. He gave him glory. He gave him honor. But the majesty that he gave him, all people, nation, and language trembled and feared before him, whom he slew, whom he would he kept alive, whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses that fed him with grass like oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. So here, King, your father, Nebuchadnezzar, God gave him glory, and God gave him honor. And God was able to, he was able as king to set up people. He was able to put them in positions. He was able to do anything that he wanted to do. But because pride came into his heart, God had to dispose him from his kingly throne. And he began to tell him how he was driven from the sons of men and how his heart was made like the beast and his dwelling was with the wild asses. And he began to, like, eat, and he was able to be fed from the grasses like a wild ass. And like oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven. So he knew that the Most High ruled in the kingdom. And thou, his son, you are his son. You are Belshazzar. You have not honored yourself. Though thou knew, you knew all of this. You knew what happened to your father, Nebuchadnezzar. You know what happened to him. And yet you see how your father was like a wild beast. I had to humble him. God had to humble him. And he had to eat the grass, and that's like a wild beast. I had to humble him although he was king. And you, Belshazzar, you knew everything that happened to your father. And you are his son, O Belshazzar. You have not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all of this. But you have lifted thyself against the Lord of heaven and have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them and have praised the god of silver and gold, of brass, of wood, of stone, which were not, nor hear, nor know that the God in whose hand thy breath is and whose are all thy ways hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and his writing were written. And this is the writing that was written. Mina, Mina, Tilka, Yusfara. This is the interpretation of a thing. I'm going to tell you why you are astonished. I'm going to tell you why you are so afraid. That God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. God has numbered, said King Belshazzar. That is what meaning means. Tika, thou art weighed in the balance and are found wanting. Prairies, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar that they clothe Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. And during that time, that night, that Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius of the Media took the kingdom about 32 years old. When we disobey God, when we're not in the plan of God, when we know truth, when we know the path to walk in, when we know what God has called us to do, when God has given us people in our lives that have walked contrary to the will of God, and then we began to walk in those same pathway of unrighteousness, God will call our attention to it. Belshazzar, because he did not humble himself, he knew what God did to his father. The word of God has already told us. He knew what his father did when pride was in his heart and how he had lifted himself up against God and how his God had to take him from his kingship, and to make him like the wild beast of the field. Come on. Sometimes God will put us back into those places, into a place that we never have ever in to show us that he is God and that he is God all by himself. The king did not humble himself. And when God had let him know what he had done, that very night that his life was taken from him, and somebody else took his place from being king. We have to be careful how we walk this walk. We have to be careful how we talk this talk. We have to be careful what we do as representing of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This King Belshazzar, he knew what happened to his father because his father was king. He knew that pride was in his father. He knew that his father did not humble himself. Oh, he's seen what happened to his own father, the king. But when he took things upon himself, when he began to go into the temple and began to take the vessel of gold and silver and brass and wood out of the temple and bring it in to his feast of thousands that he had, and began to drink with the concubines. him know that although you are king, I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. I am the Alpha and Omega. And we have to remember who God is. And we have to remember what God sets up, he is able to set down, to bring down. Sometimes we think that we're there, and there's no way that we're going to be taken out of our position. But when God begins to write on the wall, when God calls the fingers to write on the wall, it was a message that the king could not understand. It was a message that the astrologers could not read. It was a message that the soothsayer could not read. It was a message that the wise men could not read. But Daniel, the man of God, the man of God that God has called and God ordained, God had him to be able to be called for, that he may be able to write, to be able to interpret the writing on the wall. I say to you today, if pride has entered into your heart, if you're haughty, if you are not walking with a pure heart, if you have not given yourself and you try to make yourself somebody that you're not, and God have not called you to do some things that you're doing, touching the holy things of God, that you need to examine yourself today. And we're getting ready to go before the Most High God. You heard the word today. You heard the word of God from Daniel, the fifth chapter. You heard the word of God as I preach the word of God, the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. It's time for us to examine ourselves. It's time for us to not touch the holy things and make those things in the eyesight of God as if they were not holy. We are to be examples to the unbeliever. He had a chance to represent the God that is able to save and to deliver. I'm sure as the word of God came to Daniel and you remind him of his father, this man, this king, should have taken heed to the word of God. We're getting ready to go before his throne. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, God, even as we pray, Lord, we ask thee even now, God, to look upon your people right now. God, look upon those, God, that are out there in the radio airways, listening, God, to this message this morning. And, Father, we pray even now, Lord God, that they have an ear to hear what the Spirit says unto the church. I pray even now, God, that you have touched them like never before. Father, I pray even now, God, that their hearts have been humbled before you. God, your word says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek your face, turn away from their wicked way, God, you said that you would hear from heaven. You said, God, that you would forgive the sin. You said, God, that you would heal the land. So, Father, even now, I ask thee, Lord God, to heal the land. I bind our pride, God, our haughtiness, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, how look, Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, I ask thee, Lord, even now to touch our heart. Hold us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, to seek you today that you can be found and called upon your holy and most righteous name. And Lord, even as I pray, God, I pray even now for those, God, that don't know you as Lord and Savior, God, that do not know you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, even now, God, Father, I pray, God, that they will give their lives to you. And Father, even at this time, Lord, I ask thee, Father, in Jesus' name, God, to forgive them for their sin, to come into their heart and to save them. Lord, bring them to that place, God, that they be able, Father God, to be able, God, to come before you, God, to be able to see your face. God, because your word says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess before you. And Lord, even now, Lord God, I ask in Jesus' name, God, to touch the people, God, that they receive, God, that they, God, will give their hearts to you on today. And this, we thank you, and we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I pray, God, that you have enjoyed the word of God today. I pray that your faith has gone to that next level. I pray that you will be obedient to God. I pray that even as the word came forth, that you found yourself in this word of God, that we could make changes in our lives. If you are not living according to the word of God, we're going to ask you, so you can this day to make the difference in your life. And we want you to join us on Friday morning at 9 a.m. at the same time for the Hour of Power with Dr. Mary McCoy. God bless you and have a God bless.